Blog Talk Radio.
Because of anxiety shall break every chain. Conquering lion shall break every chain. Give him the victory again and again.
Can you hear me, Gigi? Hold on, y'all. Let me see what's going on here. Gigi. Just a second, y'all. Just a second. All right. Just a second, Gigi. I'm trying to see if you're live. Okay. All right, there we go. Gigi, you on with me?
Yes, sir. I got cut
All
out.
All right, there we go.
All right, Brother Drew.
Hey.
You as always, you know, for all that you do. And to the listeners, I'm your co-host. I go by the name Gigi Wood. Show you're listening to, it's called The List. And on this show, the goal is to create a decision-making aid that young people can utilize going forward on their journey. And the concept of the show is basically if you, you know, and you have lived 50-plus years and you could go back and give yourself advice to your younger self, what advice would you give to your younger self? And based on that advice, we create a list of submissions. And that list of submissions we call the list. So, Brother Drew, last month we had 79 submissions total, and the goal of the goal that has been set is to complete this journey of creating a list by this year's end. I like to say that I am pleased to share with you and the listening audience that we have 100 submissions at this point. And today I'll be giving out the final submissions, you know, just going over them. And next month, I guess we'll be doing a farewell show, because the journey will be completed. And at that time, where to pick up your copies of the list will be revealed, and all the other information will be provided on the list. So next month's show, that'll be our farewell show, and the list will be distributed, and on the list the other information that the young people need will be on that list. And I guess the reason behind executing it in that manner is that, again, brothers and sisters, we in a war, and we trying to fight this war to win this war. But in a capitalistic form of government, everybody can't be on top. Everybody can't have, you know, everybody can't succeed. So we have to be selective with who we share the knowledge that we have created with. So it's not esoteric knowledge, but it is knowledge that we, or that, yeah, that is intended for a selected few and not all the masses. Just trying to give our children something to fight with, considering they've been fighting at a disadvantage for so long. Okay, Brother Drew, the first thing I want to do is revisit the Rasheem Carter story. Can't let that go. Shout out to the family of Rasheem Carter.
All right.
And let his family know that he's not forgotten. Now, what I want to play is this is old news, but it's new news to me, and it may be news to others. And these are persons of interest that have been named. You know, this guy's giving some name dropping about something, some people who may know a lot more than what's being revealed about what has happened to the young man. So this will only take about a minute, so let's let this run, and then we'll get back to the purpose of this show.
All right.
If you don't know about Rasheem Carter, you're about to. Rasheem Carter told his mom there were pickup trucks full of white men that were threatening him, and if something happened to him, these are the guys who did it. They Emmett Till'd it. Months later, they found his body. They found parts of his body in the deer field. I think we've got a motive. White violence, white mob violence has been incited by, yes, a white woman. Let me introduce you to Jessica Keys. Jessica was involved with Lynn Clements. Jessica was also involved.
Motive.
White violence, white mob violence has been incited by, yes, a white woman. Let me introduce you to Jessica Keys. Jessica was involved with Lynn Clements. Jessica was also involved with Rasheed. She was staying at the same motel that Rasheed was staying at. Luke didn't like that. After Rasheed went missing, she received this trailer right here from Moneybags, allegedly. Yet she didn't need to stay in the hotel anymore. Now, Jessica's MIA. You know, Luke Clements has been in hiding too. Jessica, if you're okay, please reach out to me and let me know. I wouldn't think you'd be out there with Luke, seeing how he's buried and everything.
Okay, Brother Drew, that's the
that's the information I had to pass on about Rasheed Carter and the ongoing investigation. And I hope that someone in the listening audience picked up on those names and can utilize them in trying to pursue justice for this fallen brother.
Okay, Gigi, let me ask you to explain for the new listeners who's listening, that might not know who this brother is, explain what happened.
Okay, Brother Rasheem was a young man who he lost his business during the pandemic. He had a seafood business, if I recall correctly, and to generate capital so he could get his business up and running again, he decided to do some contract work. And he goes to this place in Mississippi, and there he and the groups of men that he was working with apparently had a disagreement that escalated to a point where they were giving him a ride to work. They refused to give him a ride to work. He had to walk, and he walked to the police station asking the policeman if there was a Uber, you know, could he use an Uber to get to his hotel. And the police, from what I understand, didn't assist him for whatever reason. And he called his mother to let his mother know that if something happened to him, that these people were chasing him and that the police didn't help him. And afterwards, days afterwards, when they came down there, the parents, the family came down there to get him, they couldn't find him. And afterwards, they discovered his body mutilated. And there has been a ongoing investigation into why it has happened. Up until this day, it happened in October, I believe it was in October. It's been over a year, because last year, the anniversary of the day that he had gone missing, it came and went. So it's been over a year, and we're just trying to get answers and, you know, get his family some closure and justice for what has happened to Brother Rasheem Carter. So in a nutshell, that is the story that I won't let go, and none of us should let go.
Right, until my heart is searched.
Yeah. Say that again, bro.
I said, till my heart is searched. Yes, sir.
Amen. Now, let's see, the the list. Let's turn from Brother Carter's story, which, again, the brother will not go forgotten. That's just not going to happen. And it should never happen on our watch. The list, the submissions. Let me get to the submissions, bro. Okay, we stopped at 79. So our start is 79, and we're going to go all the way up to 100. Submission 79 is dispute will arise and try to end them on a positive note. You're going to have disagreements, but one of the most productive things you can do at the end of a disagreement is try to end it on a positive note so that maybe you can leave the door open to revisit whatever the disagreement was and, you know, work towards a positive solution or a productive solution. 80 is celebrate, glorify, and put on a pedestal your culture. Put on a pedestal your culture, which I didn't even, we didn't even give today's show title, which I guess we'll just leave that in the dark for a moment because we're going to get to that. So put on the pedestal your culture. 81, play harder than you work. Work is not who you are. Work is what you do. So enjoy life way more. You know, there's people out there in the world, work is their life. Now, I personally have a list of 1,000 things that I want to do in this world before I leave it. Work ain't on that list, y'all. That's just not what it's about. So again, play harder than you work. 82 is find out for yourself. It says dismiss hearsay and go ask the source. Now, a lot of times people will tell you something like this. I heard this. Well, if you're talking to the source, there's no need to even put emphasis on the fact that you heard it. If you're talking to the source, just ask the source, is this way or that way? You know, regardless of what other information you may have received prior to that moment, just eliminate the third parties, the middlemen, and just communicate directly with the source, A and B, which last month, I think it was, I was grandstanding about why Christians believe the King James when in Ethiopia there is a Bible that has over 100 scriptures in it, and the King James only has 66. And in Ethiopia, you have monks who speak the language that this Bible is written in, who can give you first-hand knowledge of what's in that Bible. So there's your A and B, but, you know, people don't pursue that. I see them, you know, going through a host of middlemen before they get their knowledge in. That's just an example of find out for yourself. If you really want to know the truth, if people really wanted to know the truth, you know, eliminate all that middle stuff and get to the source. 83 is don't be a whore. Want more from life. Want your life to be about more. You know, be a leader, be a trailblazer, and give your life purpose and structure and positive influences on others as well as yourself. Don't be a whore. And that's man and female, you know, male and female. 84, stop talking. Let me read. Stop talking trash. You know, the language here is a little bit more colorful, but again, I try to show above the building the languages colorless as possible. So stop talking trash and do what needs to be done. Be a person of action. That's pretty self-explanatory. 85, don't depend on anyone. Always have a backup plan. I almost want to say that I think it's important to depend on someone, but a backup plan is an option that should be utilized. Brother Drew, what do you think about depending on someone?
Well, you know,
the suspension said don't depend on anyone. Where do you go with that?
Well, we all depend on somebody.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? But like you said, I always have an option in case that person can't fulfill their duty or their responsibility. But, yeah, we all depend on something every day. So that's what I mean. Just have a backup plan, as you say.
I don't think it's
the only source. Maybe we should say it like that.
I think depending on someone, that's not an unhealthy thing.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, we all depend on someone.
Right. Okay, 86 is beware of fair-weather people. That's a good submission, and most of us should know that already. Because it's a lot of people. They only show up when times are good. And when times get hard and when the going gets tough, you ain't going to see them. You don't hear from them. And then when things get better, they'll reemerge. So beware of fair weather people.
Right.
Yeah, 87 is whenever someone does something for you, the only two words that you should utter are thank you. I agree with that because it's the classy thing to do, regardless of whether you approve or don't approve. When somebody uses their energy to serve your purpose or to celebrate you or whatever the reason that they went out of the way to do something for you, in that moment, the only thing that you should say, the only thing you should do is thank them and move on. 88, use others, but don't abuse others. Know the difference. We could do a whole show on that one. We could do a whole show on them because everybody uses each other. But the abuse of another person, that could fall up under the violation. That's a violation. So, yeah, use others but don't abuse others. 89 is... Don't fall. Yeah, this is a good one. I read this one many times. It said, don't fold to the threat of aggression. Don't aggression of another. Get the best of you to make you fold to it, to make you react to it, to bring you outside of your analytical self. Because it says, don't fold to the threat of aggression. Stay analytical. Outthink the opposition. Outthink the opposition. Because as long as it doesn't become physical, it's a mental contest. So some people will use aggression as a tool to try to break your mental, you know, your mental focus and pull you out of your analytical state of mind so they can get the upper hand on you. So don't fold to the aggression. When people get aggressive with you, you get aggressive with your thinking and focus even harder and try to win the mental battle. As long as it don't turn physical. If it turns physical now, you got something totally different going on. This is no longer a discussion. And we're not going to address the response to a situation that turns physical over the air. That'll be associated with the list. So when the list is issued and that submission is, you know, if you want to know more about that submission, because the future the structure of the way the list is going to be structured, it's going to be each of these submissions will have like little 30-minute segments dedicated to them at a place, at a designated place to be revealed on the list itself at a later time. And you can go and you'll hear how to address the situation when it turns physical. But 89, don't fold to the threat of aggression. Stay analytical. And I think the opposition. 90. Now the last 11 are dedicated to healthy, wealthy, heterosexual relationship building. Number 90, because we promoting the family. In the end of this, we're building up the individuals, but the hopes is that the individuals form families. And families will surge in our communities like they should. Number 90 is master her / him, depending on which one you are. Master that other one. You know, they body language, they, you know, you pay attention to your mate, and you master your, you know, what they like and what they don't like. A lot of people, and you can go out and do experiments on this. You ask a woman what her husband or her, you know, her significant other, love or whatever she called him, what he likes. Or I take that back, ask what he don't like, what make him mad. And they could probably run off a list of shit. Uh-oh, sorry about that. They could probably run off a list of stuff that make him mad. But then if you turn around and ask her what make him happy, they got a... There's only one or two things they probably resort to. But that's not enough. When you try to master someone and you can name off a list of what makes that individual unhappy, you should also be able to counter that with a list of things that make that individual happy. That's mastering one another. Same thing with men. You know, I wasn't just trying to take a stab at women, but it's a lot of men. They know how to make their woman mad, know how to keep them in check and on and on and on. But in terms of making them happy, lifting them up, understanding the things that they value, that they draw a blank, you know. So it works both ways. So number 9 is master him / her. 91, he is a stronger physical strength we're talking about. She is the emotional, intellectual queen. I know what they're talking about right there. We physically can dominate the woman. But if you step into this emotional arena with a woman, you get slashed up. It is not your arena. That's her arena, and she the queen right there. I know what they're talking about. Where the two come together is in the analytical mental union. If you put your minds together and you build and solve and, you know, create and on and on and on. So I guess the submission is just, you know your place in your relationship. He's a stronger, she's a intellectual queen and emotional intellectual queen. And together you unite in that mental arena, you know, that analytical where you're thinking and putting stuff together, solving problems and whatnot. 92, no public dysfunction. Stay publicly united. You know, you can resolve your differences away from the eyes of the judgmental public. You know, just exercise a little discipline and restraint, and when you get private moments with one another, then you can work on the differences that you may have. But publicly, you want to try to present a united, a union. So no public dysfunction and stay publicly united. 93, the car example, depend on each other. Well, now we just said earlier, I just had a submission earlier where it said don't depend on anyone. And then, you know, we had the discussion, Brother Drew, about depending on someone ain't a bad thing. Well, here you go. 90, where was I at? 93, the car example, which is depending on each other. The car example is this. In a relationship, if you use the example of how you operate a vehicle, say you're operating a vehicle with a stick shift and manual windows. Okay. Now, each hand represents, you know, the man and the woman in the relationship, where there are going to be times when you have to separate. You know, when you're on cruise, when you're cruising, you can have both your hands together on the steering wheel and y'all just cruising down the road. But it's going to be times where one of you may need to hold the steering wheel, the other one may need to roll down this window over here. One of you need to hold the steering wheel, the other one need to shift this gear shift, need to adjust this radio, need to set the temperature settings on the air conditioning, and on and on and on. The message there is depend on each other. In your relationship, depend on each other, being there. Trust each other to do what they need to be done, that needs to be done for the relationship to continue to cruise down the road. So that's the core example, depend on each other. 94 is a family web. I talked about that last month, and I'm going to just kind of glaze over it right now. The family web, if you can imagine the way a spider web, you know, crisscrosses and you know, gets all entangled. So the web concept is that the man and the woman love each other just as much as themselves. So you have a crisscross of love for one another there. And then, but they love the children more than they love each other. So that energy goes from them and it goes down to the children. Their grandchildren, they love even more than they love their own children. So children, again, love their mates as much as they love each other, but they love their children as much. So you see how the energy kind of goes down to the youngest, and it entangles, and it creates this web. If you could imagine, you know, energy being transferred from each individual on down, it would crisscross and create an image that you could say looks like a web. So that's the family web. It's a practice of selflessness, loving others more than yourself. 95, always, let me go back to the family web, because the other example I remember last month was like, if one of the parents were to pass, and then the other parent, you know, was to go on with life and to pair up with someone else. Well, if that someone else wasn't good for the children, it's the parents' responsibility to remember to love the children more and not let this new individual or this new person disrupt the family structure. Love the children more. Love the children more. So you value the children more than yourself, which means you value the children more than the new person. Okay, 95, always lift. Always lift, resist demoralizing the kids. Always lift them. Don't beat them up. You know, sometimes people take out a lot of their frustrations on their kids. And when you're emotional or when you angry, it's not really not a good time to get at the kids, you know, because once you say it, you can't take it back, you know. I mean, you can work towards healing the damage that was done after it's been said, but once it's said, it can't be unsaid. So try to make it a habit to lift the children and resist the urge to demoralize them. 96, talk to your children. Don't beat them. We have been taught by the oppressors to lay our hands physically in a harmful and destructive way on your dreams. On your dreams, shout out to Brother Vaughn. Don't let nobody stand between you and your dreams, or your children, not your dreams. Why would you physically? Because you can't undo that either. And you would think, and if we resort back to the submission that was just discussed earlier about the aggression, you know, I think we could even alter that submission to say, don't fold to the threat of aggression, right? Don't fold to the issuance. Don't fold to the urge to exert the aggression against your children. against your dream, resist that and stay analytical. That's when your thinking needs to be amplified and the intensity level of it should skyrocket, because you have to understand what's on the line in that moment. Yeah, because depending on the age of the kid, you know, to make something unpleasant for the kid is punishment enough. But to make it physically abusive to where you physically inflict pain, that may be taking it too far for your own seeds, your own blood, your own legacy. That should be a last resort, you know, and maybe that should be, and it will be, discussed on the site where the submissions are discussed in those little 30-minute segments. It'll be discussed, and that's a good area of discussion. I'm putting a footnote for that one, and we're going to address that. Excuse me. So talk to the kids, man. Mental punishment. It's a fighter, popular fighter. People who follow the sport of boxing know the young man. His name is Javante Tank Davis. And this kid is making all kind of money. Bit of a knucklehead, but the people who became father figures in his life are responsible for his success out there in the business world. And in the business world, he's generating a lot of capital in the sport of boxing. And the example that they gave, which I thought was interesting, because this is an example of using your mind instead of your fist, is that when he was young, he knew that if he messed up in school, his punishment was when he got to the gym, he had to fight everybody in the gym. So he'd go to school and he'd mess up on purpose. Well, to get him to be a better person, they switched it on him and told him, if you go to school and you mess up, you can't fight nobody. And it worked. It helped him change what he was doing, which was unproductive. The elders, they thought up a better way, and it works. And that's just an example of where, you know, use your mind to mentally help your children grow versus, you know, your fist and your feet and your belt and all. The stories are just, we all know them stories. And they're some brutal stories. 97. She is a gold standard. She is the gold standard. Value her that way. She is a gold standard. Value her that way. And for those of you who may not be familiar with that term, the gold standard, there was a time when the American dollar was backed by gold. And that was considered the gold standard because the American dollar was backed by gold, all the other countries in the world recognized the American dollar as this valuable tool in business, and it became the gold standard. Well, the woman is the gold standard, and we should value her that way. 98, experience new learning together. Those first learnings, when you're in a marriage, when you're in a relationship, go out together and experience new stuff together. It'll bring you together. It'll help you grow together. You know, do stuff together. Cooking together has always been a great tool or a great experience that I have always resorted to, because the meal says a lot about the communication. So experience new learning together. 99, keep building. Rising together. Keep building each other up. Keep build, yeah. Yeah, keep build. Don't let the marriage or relationship, don't let it flatline. Just keep rising, you know. You should never peak. You should never hit that peak where you flatline. Just little things. If you learn something new every day, or if you learn something new every day, then you're always peaking. You know, you never just leveled off. There's always just a little inclination where you rise and just a little bit more today than you were yesterday. So keep building, keep rising together. And finally, Brother Drew, number 100 simply says your legacy. Y'all's, it's because we country folk. So y'all's is plural form of the two of you. Y'all's legacy. Show them how it's done. Your legacy shows those who come after how it's done. Those who live during your time, your legacy shows how it's done. So, Brother Drew, it gives me a great joy to say that's 100, brother. That's 100 submissions. The list is complete. We focused and we finished. So next month will be a celebration. Next month will be a celebration. It'll be a farewell show, and all the information that you need to go forward with getting your copies of the list and in your hands to get to the young people, and you know the method of executing how to get the young people to get involved with the learning. It'll all be discussed next month. So there we go. 100. The list is complete. Now the topic for this show, which we didn't list, is glorify us. More specifically, is glorify her. Now, I'm going to come from a book called The Black Bible of Science. And this brother's name, I'm just going to spell it because I don't want to butcher this brother's name, because I don't know if the vowels take on an individual pronunciation or if together they make one sound. So this brother's name is Dr. O-S-E-I. Thinking that's, well, I'm going to leave that alone. And his last name is K-U-F-U-O-R. In this book, he talks about the importance of woman. And it's interesting that I read this because I was already on this wavelength, and then here he comes confirming what I'm already feeling. He says that the woman, she's a universe. Okay? Because she nurtures creation and life. and she carries this mental, spiritual, and moral knowledge that's different from what we as men learn, because we learn it by our failures. You know, we're aggressive. We more physical. Where mentally, she already naturally knows these things. And it goes on to say, and these are just highlights that I'm discussing that I took from this. It says we as men need to humble ourselves to the divine feminine. She's the first teacher and the mother of civilization. The woman is our heaven. I believe I want to say that one more time, a little bit louder, so every brother out there who is without a woman will hear me say this. The woman is our heaven. A man with no woman is living in hell. To save a people, we must save the one who gives birth to the people. To save a people, we must save the one who gives birth to the people, the woman. Okay, so the woman has very distinct moral values apart from any other being. When her heart is in a state of balance and peace. And that, I think the brother said a mouthful. Brother Drew, I can hear you in the background. I'd say the brother said a mouthful when he said that the woman has a very distinct moral values apart from others when her heart is in a state of balance and peace, and it's our responsibility to keep her heart protected. You're supposed to protect that which you love. So if you love your woman, you're supposed to protect her and keep her in a state of balance and peace, because she's the most important tool of our civilization. It goes on to say, when the woman is carrying life in the womb, Satan, those negative forces, they attack her. And it's our responsibility as men, because let's see what it says. When the woman is carrying life, the outside affects the inside. And as men, the producer, we as the producer is to protect, is, let me try to read this sentence. I'm just going to read the whole sentence. As men, we must do all that we can to make sure that our producer is protected from the negative thoughts and actions of this world. Okay, that's what it's saying. So, yeah, our responsibility is to protect her. So, basically saying if the man is eliminated, that there's no man, there's no balance. And there's a lot of truth to that. The man is needed just, you know, in a relationship just as much, because there's a balance there. So both parents, both energies, the negative and the feminine, are both needed, especially for healthy child development. Don't beat the woman, don't beat the child. The garden is she is the garden and he is the gardener. Okay. And the physical. We just had the discussion about, you know, in conflict with others, try to stay analytical. Try not to resort to the physical. with your children, try to stay analytical with your woman. The physical should be like the last resort, and it's going to be hard for something good to come from physical violence. But, you know, try to stay. You use your minds, people, and fight for who you love and what you love with your mental until you can't. And then it's, you know, that's another discussion. So now we get on to this part about my art. Because who is my art? My art is a Egyptian goddess, a melanated Egyptian goddess, a melanated winged Egyptian goddess who stood for truth and justice. Think about that image. Maat is a melanated, winged goddess who stands for truth and justice. It's a fictional character. But the concept of Maat, that's what I want to put emphasis on. Those were the lessons of our ancestors to teach our young women, to teach women, both young and old. They knew about the concept of Maat. They were Maat. Our sisters today, they are Maat. They're not living the concept of Maat. To us, that there is no other Maat other than our sisters, other than our women. So that's the Maat of our culture, is our women. Now, back to the book, it says that Satan's goal is to turn us against our women. And that's happening. That's being executed. And we have to reverse that. We have to challenge that. We have to regain our focus and undo the treacherous works or the evil deeds that are being executed against us and our women. But when you harm your women, you harm your culture, you harm your people, you harm your existence, you harm your dreams, your children. Jesus, and that has to be reestablished. Okay, so now let me go to my notes. She is my sister. You are my aunt. The concept of my aunt, you are my aunt. And we need to resume, we need you to resume your natural place because you are our culture's gold standard. By the character of this woman, there's an expression about a race is judged by the character of this woman. We are judged by your character. The eldest woman is my aunt at the highest level. All the young women are influenced by her. She's the general. She's the ambassador. She's the queen. It's her duty to instruct and advise, to instruct and advise, to accept and execute her natural calling, the eldest woman. She is the general. She's the ambassador. That's my art at its highest level. And from her, it all trickles down. Now I want to give y'all the elder challenge. in regards to getting this concept of my out. When you witness a young woman that's a step down from elder status, but above a child, that woman in that big range right there, and she is celebrating her natural beauty of herself. You know, it's her, nothing fake. You know, as an elder, acknowledge her and bless her with your approval. And then ask her, does she know about or not, about my art. And then if she don't, introduce her to the concept of my art and watch the ripple spread. And I'm giving y'all this because this is what I do myself. I'm going to give you my example of why I do it. And then I'm going to tell you about what I see happening as a result of it. When I was young and the parliament was doing their thing, and they had a funk festival parade that led to the concert. Well, I'm like 11. I was 11 at the time. And I couldn't go to the concert because I'm too little, and they did illegal stuff in there. I would go to the parade. I had my little platform shoe, my little polyester, stitch, whatever the material was, your bell bottoms with your little polyester wing tip shirt. And I had me some Sernose glasses because I couldn't find them Star Childs. But I had my little Sternose glasses, and my fro was out as best I could have it out because my mother was a beautician, and she used to put the perm on it so it laid. It didn't stand up like a fro, but I had it picked out best I could. So I go to the concert, and I'm little, so I got to fight to get to the front. So I'm at the front of the line, and the limos are coming up, and this limo stops. And the window goes down. And one of the ladies who was in this group called the Brides of Funkenstein. Okay, time is almost up. Let me try to move with a sense of urgency here. And anyway, the limo window goes down, and she points, and she goes, "Look at him, look at him." And she's talking about me, but she's telling the people in the limo, and I see their little faces, you know, trying to stick out the window, and they looking. And I'm looking around, wondering who the hell she's talking about. And finally, somebody tapped me, you know, and say, "She's talking about you, little man." And when I knew it was me that she was addressing, here it is, someone that I'm idolizing that's acknowledging me. And she looked and pointed, and I'm waving, you know, Kool-Aid smile. I just can't believe it. And she said, "Baby, stay funky." That's what she said. I'm almost 60 years old, and I still remember that. I'm telling you that to tell you this, that when you show a woman who is celebrating her natural beauty, who she is, that she is mad, that she is being celebrated. And then not only that, because this is what I do with the young women who I tell and introduce to mad, I tell them to acknowledge the little girls when they see the little girls admiring them, because I'm telling you now that experience that I experienced, I still carry with me. Those little girls, when they get acknowledged by those sisters who just look incredible. They got the fro. They got the afro puffs or the dreads or the braids. But It's them. They celebrating their natural beauty, and the little girls who look just like them look at them with their admiration and that wonder. And then you turn around and acknowledge that little girl and let her know, I see you. I see you. Those ripples are going to go far beyond what anybody else could probably do for those young girls, because you are them. I can't do it. I'm not them. You are them. They could grow up and look just like you. You are the possibility. They need that. And when you show young women, we need to celebrate our women. So this is the elder challenge. All the elders who have contributed to this list, thank you. Now I give you one more challenge going forward. When you see those women, acknowledge them. Let them know you approve of them. Let them introduce them to Maad if they don't know Maad, and send them on their way. And they'll do the rest of the work for us. Where am I now? Let me tell you about, okay, Fonsus, I covered that. The Elder Challenge, I covered that. Okay, Maad. See, we need to take Maad. This concept of Maad needs to be put back on the front lines. You know, Maad needs to be on T-shirts. You know, Maad needs to be on we need necklaces and earrings and rings and bracelets and on and on and on. We need to dress these women, our women, old and young, dress them in the concept of Maad so they can carry, they can grow with that concept, and it only grows more and more within them. You know, when you take a seed and you plant it, if it gets nurtured in the right environment, it grows. So yeah, let's implant Maad in the minds of our women, and it's ROI, return on investment. You know, it'll grow, and it'll be a asset going forward. One of the reasons that because Maad is a concept of a substance. You know, it gives a little girl something else to choose from, not that non-melanated, shallow, phony, insecure, pretentious image that's playing in the theaters right now. See, we got to fight that kind of stuff. You know? We got to fight that kind of stuff. And then another battle that we're fighting right now is that microplastics, which, you know, plastic is all over the world, polluting the world. Microplastics are in the rainwater now. Not only are they in the rainwater, they are in the bloodstreams of humans. You have plastic in your bloodstream. And now, what's even worse is that the microplastics are in the breast milk, meaning from you to your baby, you passing these microplastics. We are a natural people, and we're not safe in the synthetic world. So we have to try to get back to our natural selves. We have to fight this unnatural world that's being created around us. So Maad, the concept of Maad is needed. And she, you, my sister, you need it, and you need it now. Brother Drew, I had some other facts that I wanted to cover, but the clock on the wall say I now already run over. So, yeah. So, I guess it's time to wrap it up, brothers and sisters. It's been a ride. And next month, Thursday the 10th at 10 p.m., we'll be doing our final show, a celebration of the completion of the list. So, as always, y'all stay strong, stay true. Choose what's righteous over what's popular. Brother Drew, take
all
us
right,
home.
Y'all. We'll see y'all next month on the 10th, the 1st. All right. Or is it the 1st? Hey, dude, I messed that up.
All right, we out of here.
All right.